Samson. Now, there's a character we'll be looking at. We're in Hebrews 11, verse 32. We're going through verse 32 with all its list of people of faith. And verse 32 mentions several noteworthy men of faith. But a couple of weeks back before the Easter celebration, we looked at two women mentioned in verse 32. Well, Deborah's mentioned, who raised to the point of being the respected judge of Israel. And for a woman to do this, she had to be a woman of character, had to have the respect of the people, and Deborah had that. But Deborah sends word to Barak, and she tells him, gather 10,000 troops from your tribe and go fight against Sisera. Now, Sisera is the commander of Jabin's army, who also has thousands of troops. And not only that, at Sisera's disposal, there's 900 chariots of iron. And a chariot of iron was the equivalent of an army tank in today's world. Israel, by this time, has not yet entered into, quote unquote, the Iron Age. So they don't have tanks. They have very few swords even in the country of Israel. And a chariot coming against them gave Jabin and his army a huge advantage over them. Yet Deborah commands, she commands Barak, go fight against Sisera at Mount Tabor. Barak is afraid to go by himself. And he tells Deborah, I will go, but I'm only going to go if you will go with me. Deborah agrees, but she tells Barak, the glory of this victory will then go to a woman, and it won't go to you. And this glory comes via another woman, Jael, who kills Sisera by driving a tent stake through his temple, drives it and nails Sisera to the ground. And then she sees Barak coming, and she kind of boasts and says, come see what I did to the man that you have been fighting. And Israel now will go through a time of relieving the oppression that has been upon them by Jabin and his army. There's a time of reprieve. They get to eat their own crops. They get to thresh their own wheat and this kind of thing. And Israel throws off the yoke of oppression from Jabin and his army. It's a colorful deliverance by Jael. And it comes via two women, Deborah and Jael. Two women empowered by God, and Barak receives no credit, even though he fought valiantly and so forth. But as we move through chapter 11, verse 32 of Hebrews, we come to Samson. Samson is quite the character, and he's mentioned in Judges 13, 24 through 16:31, Samson, a mighty man of strength, strength from God. Samson literally means shining as the sun. Samson is born to Manoah and his wife in chapter 13 of Judges, but they're barren. They don't have any children. And an angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's wife, telling her, you will conceive and bear a son. And the angel again tells her, Samson, your son is to be a Nazarite. Now, Samson was not a Nazarite temporarily. It's his life's call to be a Nazarite. All the days of his life, he is to be a Nazarite, separated unto God. A Nazarite was not to touch any wine, not even grapes. A Nazarite was to let their hair grow, and they were not to touch a dead animal. And these were three of the identifying marks of a Nazarite, a man separated unto God. And the angel of the Lord set forth these conditions on Samson from his very birth. And in Judges 13, verse 14, the angel lays down to Manoah's wife the behavior, her as his mother, what she's to observe. So listen to these two verses. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All I have commanded her, let her observe." Now we know Samson had special behavior restrictions, but not only is it on Samson, but it's also on his mother. So we have there, mom is to be an example to her son. And we, as parents, are to be Christian examples to our children. I knew one lady who wanted to involve herself in the life of her son. But the problem was her son liked to smoke marijuana. So she lights up with him. This is a mother-son deal. We're going to smoke dope together. No! You're to be an example to your children not to behave in sinful ways. But Samson, he is born. He grows, and the Lord blesses him. And sometimes, if we're not careful, our children can look upon the faith and character of us as Christian parents, and they can see hypocrisy, if there's hypocrisy there. They can see faithfulness, if faithfulness is there. But we're to leave a rich heritage to our children of godly parents. Manoah, Samson's father, he has experienced the angel of the Lord appearing to him and his wife. This angel of the Lord has appeared to him. And Manoah, he wants to observe this, so he makes sacrifice to the angel. God accepts Manoah's sacrifice. And Manoah is fearful of death, for he realizes he has seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And in verse 22, Manoah declares, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." He realized that seeing God meant death to him. But his wife said, "Hold on, Manoah, hold on. God would not have accepted our sacrifice if he wanted to kill us." Back to Samson. He grows into an early adulthood, and he's got a severe attitude problem. So let's read Judges 14, 1 through 7. And we can see this character flaw coming forth. "Now Samson went down to Timnah, and he saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistine. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Can you say lust? She pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. These opening verses, these first seven verses, give us insight onto the character of Samson. Samson is a spoiled brat. It's the only way you can say it. He is terribly spoiled. Listen to him. Dad, go get this Philistine woman for me as a wife. Son, this is a woman. She is of an ungodly people. Get her for me, Dad. She pleases me well. Now, God is seeking a reason to come against the Philistines because they're treating Israel, his people, harshly. And God wants to come against them. But Samson goes off and his parents go down to Timnah to retrieve this daughter of the Philistines. But along the way, a lion comes up out of the forest upon Samson. Roaring lion. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. This is where Samson's strength is. It's in the Spirit of the Lord. And that's where his strength comes from. But Samson, he tears the lion apart by hand. He did not have a weapon. He literally rips this lion apart. But Samson, he keeps this private. He doesn't tell mom and dad what he's done. And he continues in his quest for this Philistine girl, for she pleased him well. Then verses 8 and 9. And after some time, when he returned to her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion, and he took some of it in his hand and went along eating it. When he came to his father and mother, he gave them some, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a lion. Samson, he returns after some time to get his Philistine wife. Now remember, Samson is a Nazirite. No wine, no grapes, no dead animals. No wonder Samson is quiet about all this lion slaying to his parents. Samson does not feel he is bound by the Nazirite vow. He looks upon the restrictions of a Nazirite as just casual, quote, Christian belief, if you can say that. And Samson is now going on his feelings, and if they say disobey God, he will disobey God. Samson returns where? To a dead lion. Dead animals were forbidden. and he finds a beehive in this carcass of a lion, and he takes some of the honey from the dead lion and he shares it with mom and dad. Samson is now freewheeling. He realizes he has this strength and abilities that are God-given, but they are his to use as he pleases. No restrictions upon him in his lifestyle. He knows that he's special. He knows that he has strength and wisdom, a gift from God. But he fails to see that it's truly God gifting him. We can sometimes speak of being a good steward. Christianese talk. We can talk about being a good steward of God's gifts to us. Gifting includes abilities in this old body, including physical strength or mental abilities. Do not only think that being a good steward applies to your finances. It's much deeper than that. It's much more than that. We can have a simple gift like, say, hospitality. Simply a friendly conversation, having a person or two over for a meal. And that is priceless. That is fellowship. That is koinonia. One of my best friends to this day in ministry is a fellow named Tony Magana. And when we started attending Calvary Chapel, Modesto, Tony would seek us out every Sunday. "Hey, Don, how was your week? What's going on, man?" And he took an interest in us. Today, Tony is in Spokane, Washington, but we still stay in contact. A good friend. One of our good things that we do here is our meet and greet time. It got carried away this morning. We went too long. That's all right. Originally, when it was proposed to me to have a meet and greet time, I was opposed to it. "Nah, we can't be doing that. Let's give them a ballpoint pen and send them on their way." Don't you love those ballpoint pens you get when you go to a new church? But our meet and greet time is one of the best things we do as a fellowship. We get to know one another. Outside, there's only one thing that tops our meet and greet. That's my well-thought-out sermons on Sunday morning. You know I'm kidding. Samson, but he's gifted of God. And he's gifted in strength and mind, but he's very weak on being committed to God. The angel of the Lord calls Samson and his mothers to be separated unto him. But Samson, he assumes upon this gifting, and he takes being a Nazarite, he takes that for granted. Being separated to God had no special place in Samson's life. Now, today, you may be gifted in a way that you don't even recognize as being gifted. Recognize your gifts. That's not pride. You're recognizing God has gifted you. And we have an abundance of musically talented people here. But I'm not one of them. So if you're musically gifted, use that gift as unto the Lord. Continue in that gifting. I only have one objection to our musical worship teams. No tambourines. Sorry, that's where we draw the line. I grew up in a church where little old ladies in their worship would bring tambourines and sit on the front row, and they would beat those tambourines. Not always on time either. So we can worship the Lord fully, openly, no tambourines. It's one of my restrictions. But back to Samson. Samson and his dad are giving an engagement party to the Philistines. They're inviting the Philistine young men. And there was a lot of food at this engagement party. And most likely there was a lot of wine there too, knowing Samson. And Samson, he's toying with, he's playing with the gifting from God. And in his folly, he poses a riddle. He poses a riddle to the Philistines. And let's read about that in verses 10 through 18. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, and a young man used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, "Let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing." And they said to him, "Pose your riddle, that we may hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the seventh day, when they had said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband that we may explain, that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you in your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Why have you done this, woman?" Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me." And he said to her, "Look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you?" Now she had wept on him for 7 days. She was persistent. While their feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, "With sword the sun went down. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." Samson's riddle is to these 30 Philistines. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. Notice how close the riddle is to true life in Samson. He's getting near the sacred, near the fact that he is a Nazarite. Nothing appears sacred to Samson. Everything is fun and games. "Entice your husband," the Philistines, "to explain the riddle to us, or we will burn your father's house with fire." The fun, the riddle, has turned deadly. Finally, on the seventh day, Samson gives in and he explains the riddle to his wife. She gives the answer to the 30 Philistines, and they solve the riddle. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And Samson realizes they have inside information on his riddle. Now, I like his answer. Any good farm boy would appreciate his answer. If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. A heifer is a motherless cow. Full size, full age, but no babies. The term heifer is not always appreciated in city folks' lingo. A heifer is a sleek, young female cow, full of life, not an old, worn-out beast. I'm just saying. So when you hear the term heifer, don't be offended by it. But let's read the last two verses of chapter 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, gave the change of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. God's gifting of Samson does not go away, is not nullified because of Samson's folly. And that sort of is amazing. But it brings forth that one scripture that makes it alive. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Samson, he is a classic case of foolishness. I get angry at Samson when I read about his foolish decisions. But notice when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it came upon him in a mighty way. Samson was not a weightlifter. He was not a gym rat. He did not build up the muscles and look strong and ferocious. Otherwise, the Philistines would have known why he was so strong. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon Samson for his strength. The groomsmen, the 30 invited guests, received their change of clothing. But Ascalon is a Philistine city. The garments that Samson gives those 30 is stained with blood of fellow Philistines. And this wife that was so pleasing to Samson is given to his best man of the wedding party. It's another slap in the face for Samson from the Philistines. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Can be a hard verse to understand. In today's world, we hear of fallen Christian pastors time and time again. Men that have been used mightily of God who have fell by the wayside. And I'm sad to report, several years back, we had our own very popular, biggest Calvary Chapel pastor in the United States fall. It was Bob Coy. Bob Coy was pastor of Fort Lauderdale Calvary Chapel. It was by far the largest Calvary in the United States. He had over 100 people on staff. We don't even have 100 people to attend here. But he had over 100 people on staff. Bob was a gifted communicator with a sin problem. Adultery was his sin, and it brought him down. if you went to a conference of pastors and so forth, Bob was the desired speaker of a conference. He was comical. And he was extremely popular for years. But Bob depended on his humor to move a crowd. And all this time, he was indulged in sexual sin. Bob's sins disgraced him, and he's no longer in ministry today, shamed by his sin, divorced by his wife, and Bob is a has-been today. All of his gifting as a speaker nullified by the ongoing sin in his life. And Samson, extremely gifted, extremely strong, will come to a sorrowful end. But that's next week's sermon. We're not through with Samson. We're going to finish him up next week. God has given each and every one of his children, you and I, spiritual gifts. We all have them. Sometimes we wonder, perhaps, what I'm gifted in and so forth. But never regard the gifting of God in a casual or light way. You're gifted. Find out what that gift is and walk and minister in that gift. That's our responsibility. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we don't want to ever be casual about your workings and giftings in our lives. Lord, you've gifted us for a cause, for a purpose. It's to encourage, edify others, and we want to be faithful to do that, Lord. So, Lord, let us walk in the gifting that you have given us by your Spirit. Let us be fruitful in our walk with you, Lord. Let us be about you and your kingdom. And never let us be casual about your gifting. It's from you. You are the one who empowers. You're the one who strengthens. And let us walk in the gifts of the Spirit by your power, Lord. And we pray and ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.